Great. Thanks, Andrew. And thanks for the invitation to speak at today's conference. Today I'm going to give an update on some of the developments since the bank released its strategic review of innovation in the payment system in June last year. Back in May 2010, the Payment System Board announced that the bank was undertaking a strategic review of innovation. So the background here was a concern that in recent years it had been hard to generate some types of innovation from the Australian payment system. There was typically no shortage of innovation where a bank could innovate on its own and without having to involve other banks. But it does seem to have been difficult to get system-wide or cooperative innovation for a number of reasons. And given that payment systems are networks, this type of innovation is crucial. So the strategic review looked for ways in which innovation could be facilitated by more effective cooperation between stakeholders and regulators. There were two major decisions that came out of the review. First, the Payment System Board will from time to time set some strategic objectives for the payment system that take account of the interests of all stakeholders. The board will set targets, but it'll be largely up to industry to determine how those objectives can be met most efficiently. Secondly, there'll be more direct dialogue between the board and the industry. So we're currently working with the industry to constitute a new high-level industry coordination body, which we're calling the Australian Payments Council. Let me first update you on progress towards the Payments Council. Following the release of the review's conclusions, the bank engaged in some further consultations on industry governance. These discussions helped to refine our views on the role and the makeup of a new body. The bank has since been working with APCA to design a framework for the Australian Payments Council. Industry representation on the Payments Council will be broader than just financial institutions. It will also incorporate payment system operators, self-acquirers, and some of the newer or non-traditional players in the industry. Given that the Payments Council can't be too large if it is to have effective decision-making, APCA and the bank have also been thinking about ways to facilitate interaction between the council and the broader payments industry. The board has been briefed on the model that we and APCA have come up with, and I think we're very close to announcing a proposal. And together with APCA, we intend to do a final round of consultation on the proposal, and we hope that a council can be formed soon afterwards. Because this payments council will be charged with coordinating the activities of the industry, it will consist only of industry participants. So it will not have any direct representation by end users of the payment system. However, the bank considers it very important that the interests of end users are also incorporated into discussions of strategic objectives. So the bank will be proposing to establish a separate consultation group for end users of the payment system. We expect this would include representatives of consumer and business groups, as well as government. Discussions with this group will help inform the bank's assessment of how well the payment system is meeting its public interest goals. I'll turn now to the initial set of strategic objectives from the review. These included the capacity for consumers and businesses to make payments with close to immediate funds availability to the recipient on a 24/7 basis. Say, for example, I was going to sell my car on a weekend to Andrew. He might be quite happy to drive the car away, but I might want to see the funds before I give him the keys. So what we're looking for is a system where Andrew could make a payment to me, a mobile payment to me, and I would be able to see the availability of those funds in my account in real time, in say 10 or 15 seconds. We don't have that capacity currently, except in some circumstances where Andrew banks with my own organisation, where we have the same banking institution. But this should work across ADIs, and it should work on a 24/7 basis, and there should be immediate visibility of the payment. Systems for fast payments are already up and running in a number of countries, such as the UK, Mexico, Sweden and Switzerland, and one is currently being implemented in Singapore. Second, there should be the ability to send more detailed information with payments. And third, there should be the ability to address payments in a simple manner. for example, by addressing a payment to a mobile phone number or an email address, rather than having to remember and then correctly key in a six-digit BSB and an account number of up to 9 digits. The strategic review set some targets for these objectives. For the most part, they were by the end of 2016. In February, the board was briefed on the industry's proposal to deliver a fast payments solution for Australia. The board welcomed the proposal, and we've continued to brief the board on developments since then. These have included the formation of a program steering committee, commitments by more than 15 institutions to help fund the initial stages of the project and to contribute to the project design. And APCA is shortly going to be providing further information on the project, which is now called the New Payments Platform, or the NPP. And third, a consulting firm has been appointed to help manage the project. Now, I know that Brad's going to speak more about progress from the industry's perspective. But from the bank's perspective, it's very important that the NPP is based on a hub infrastructure, and it'll link all ADIs as well as other approved participants. That is, the new infrastructure is not going to be bilateral in nature, like many of Australia's existing retail payment streams, because bilateral systems tend to make it difficult for new participants to enter, and they tend not to be conducive to collaborative innovation. The new hub-based system will be more conducive to innovation and new entrants. The bank's now working closely with industry to ensure that the strategic objectives are realised. We are represented as a participant in the NPP, and we're also on the Program Steering Committee. One of our roles here will be to ensure that the infrastructure that is built is consistent with the bank's strategic objectives and also with the public interest. The bank has also commenced work on developing the principles and the requirements for the settlement component of the NPP. The bank's going to be building a fast settlement service, which will be operated on a 24/7 basis and will be linked to the main RITS system, our RTGS system. It will enable the transfer of funds and the settlement of transactions between any two participants in real time. It'll be designed to handle high volumes of throughput with very high reliability. And the bank's timetable for the delivery of the fast settlement service has been aligned with the industry timetable. I'll turn now to a final strategic objective from the review, and that was that by the end of 2013, all direct entry payments should be settled on the same day that payment instructions are exchanged. The motivation here was partly to mitigate counterparty and operational risks, but more importantly was to allow recipients to access funds in a more timely manner. And many of the changes required to support this initiative are now complete. One element is that the bank is making changes to its liquidity management arrangements to facilitate the settlement of DE payments near the end of the day. My colleague Guy DeBell spoke on this 2 weeks ago. But the problem here was that the same-day settlement of DE payments will require the settlement of the bulk of transactions late in the day. That is, after intraday repos have been unwound and the interbank cash market has closed. Now, the uncertainty around these late flows will require a much larger amount of liquidity in the system, which the bank will provide by allowing ESA holders to engage in open repos, that is, repos without a maturity date. In aggregate, it's expected that ESA holders will hold open repos of between $20 and $30 billion. But to ensure that RITS participants are not penalised for holding much larger overnight balances, the bank will pay RITS participants the target cash rate on a proportion of their balances. And this contrasts with present arrangements of 25 basis points below the target for overnight ESA balances. These changes will also subsequently be important for accommodating the settlement component of the new payments platform. But to the extent that further changes to liquidity management arrangements are needed, the bank will consult with industry and will make any necessary changes. Overall, the bank welcomes the progress we've seen towards achieving the same-day settlement of DE payments and the initial steps towards a fast retail payment system that addresses many of the gaps in our existing systems. The fast payments project in particular is a very exciting one, and if successful, it'll see the Australian retail payment system at the global frontier in around 3 years' time. The progress we've seen so far suggests a renewed capacity for the industry to cooperate in the interests of providing a better payment system for all stakeholders. And we're hopeful that the creation of the Australian Payments Council in the coming year will help to maintain this progress. Thank you.
I might kick off, first of all, with Tony and Brad. Are you actually going to make these deadlines that you've put out there in your presentation? You're confident that things are on track?
I'll start, Andrew. We think the deadlines are ambitious, but are achievable. We are optimistic about the progress that's been achieved so far. As we've seen in the presentations today, there are other fast payment systems around the world, so that this has been done before. There are two elements that will be a bit more challenging because they haven't necessarily been done in other countries, and that's a comprehensive addressing database. And also, as we've just heard, the use of the new IS 20022 standards. And that's going to be a challenge. But overall, we think it's achievable. It's important to meet that, not just because it's a target set by the PSB, but the payments industry is not static. There will be other products coming along that will be seeking to offer real-time payments to households. So it's important that the Australian ADIs get their system up and running too.
Harold Dimple, MHITS Limited. This is a question for Andrew and Brad. It may actually be in the documents you've already published, but for the new payments platform, is it just limited to ADIs, or will it be open to sort of non-ADIs or other participants? And I'm thinking particularly along the lines of the Pingit in the UK and these sorts of platforms that operate value-added services. Could you comment on thoughts at this stage?
sorry, just got a bit of a frog in my throat. We're still going through a requirement stage at the moment, so some of those issues are still to be resolved. I believe in terms of what the RBA has set down in terms of the core criteria is that there's an expectation that all ADIs would be connecting to this infrastructure in terms of any further abilities to connect. That still has yet to be resolved and is part of the discussions that are happening right now.
If I could add that the RBA's core criteria and the industry's RTPC proposal did contain provisions for other approved entities to also connect to the service. More generally, the PSB views very strongly that this new infrastructure should be a tool for innovation and should facilitate entry into the payment system.